Welcome to Primo Medico Expert Physicians Talk, health explained in an understandable way. In this podcast channel, we talk about selected medical topics in collaboration with leading medical specialists. The following content comes directly from the respective specialist and is presented by a digitally recorded voice, expertly scrutinized, clearly explained. Primo Medico, health to listen to. Our shoulder is the most mobile joint in the body. While it does not have to bear as much weight as the knee or hip, for example, wear and tear can still occur in the shoulder, which may ultimately necessitate a joint replacement. Today, I am very pleased to be discussing this important topic with Dr. Andreas Kickenbeck. He serves as a co-owner and the lead physician at the Arthos MVZ Orthopedic Practice, located in Wiesbaden. Dr. Kickenbeck, could you please explain to us what exactly causes such severe wear and tear in the shoulder joint that a full prosthesis becomes necessary?
In contrast to the large joints of the lower extremities, such as the hip and the knee, the shoulder is characterized primarily by its remarkably great range of motion. This means that the interplay between the joint surface and the complex muscle tendon system is crucial for the various degenerative changes that occur. So on the one hand, we're already talking about normal osteoarthritis, as we know it from other joints, with loss of roundness and restricted mobility. We also have patients with underlying rheumatic diseases where the inflammatory changes then truly destroy the joint surface. However, when we look specifically at the shoulder, we often see many patients suffering from permanent long-term tendon damage, where the complex interplay between the muscular guidance and the joint leads to a very significant increase in wear and tear, which consequently results in the development of osteoarthritis within the joint.
Could you please explain what is actually the single most crucial factor that ultimately leads you to decide to recommend a total joint replacement to a patient rather than continuing with some form of conservative treatment?
Pain is clearly the primary factor, but for joint replacement, loss of function is just as critical. Patients often complain of constant pain with movement, especially with shoulder joints where night pain is excruciating. Furthermore, and particularly when dealing with arthrotic or, to put it another way, degenerative changes that involve the surface of the joint, there occurs a massive restriction of movement, which severely limits the shoulder's typically excellent range of mobility to such a profound extent that basic self-care and essential personal hygiene tasks are sometimes impaired.
There are various types of shoulder prostheses. Sometimes they only replace the surface of the humeral head, sometimes both the ball and the socket, and sometimes a prosthesis is inserted in reverse, that is, an inverse prosthesis. Perhaps we can start with one type. When do you use a resurfacing prosthesis, and how does it work?
The term cap prosthesis is actually a little bit misleading. In recent years, it has been replaced by what we now call the head prosthesis. The original cap prosthesis design had several significant biomechanical disadvantages, which is why we now refer more frequently to stemless or head prostheses. These prostheses offer several advantages, particularly for younger patients, because they can be implanted in a bone-preserving manner. This means that in the event of a revision, not as much bone substance needs to be altered in the shaft area. That is actually one of the key advantages. Moreover, it is important to note that, as one might naturally expect, if you choose to utilize a significantly smaller graft, you are able to realize a substantial improvement regarding the overall surgical approach, as well as in the patient's postoperative pain management situation throughout the recovery process. Mobility is, of course, being significantly and noticeably improved by the use of this head prosthesis, which functions by facilitating the reconstruction of the articular surface of the humeral head.
In what specific cases would you opt for an anatomical total prosthesis, where both of the joint surfaces are actually replaced?
This question is also one where the two actually overlap. In other words, both a stem prosthesis and a head prosthesis can be used as an anatomical total prosthesis.
It has become increasingly clear over the course of these recent years that both mobility and personal satisfaction with a total prosthesis, that is, with a replacement of the head and the corresponding joint partner on the shoulder blade, the glenoid, when both are replaced, satisfaction, mobility, and also the postoperative pain situation are positively improved. This means that if a patient has high functional demands, which is the case for almost 100% of them these days, we use an anatomical prosthesis with a simultaneous replacement of the joint surface. Whether that is a head, short stem, or standard stem prosthesis, then depends more on the patient's bone quality.
Perhaps we could revisit the reverse shoulder prosthesis, which swaps the natural joint surfaces. Could you explain the specific clinical scenarios where you use it and the mechanism of how it functions?
Actually, though, I believe that in Germany at the moment, about 75 to 80% of shoulder prostheses are reverse shoulder prostheses. This is partly because shoulder prosthetics are frequently utilized in elderly patients who have experienced a significant loss of rotator cuff function over the long course of their lives. This brings us back to the problem I mentioned at the very beginning, the complex interplay between muscle, tendon structure, and the joint surface. The shoulder joint lacks a form fit, resulting in permanent instability that can only be compensated for by strong musculature. This means that in our older patients, when we no longer have this tendon muscle configuration, do we need to create an interlocking fit similar to a hip prosthesis for a ball joint? Avoids the sudden back and forth movement of the shoulder joint, allowing the retraining of the deltoid muscles and thus achieving a good everyday function for the patient again. For a significant number of patients, this procedure is truly a genuine blessing because the chronic pain, which often leads to severe functional impairment and restricted physical movement in their day-to-day lives, is actually resolved and disappears within a very short period of time. And these patients experience significant relief only 2 or 3 days following the surgical operation.
Some of the various prostheses that you place need to be cemented, while others do not require that at all. Could you please tell me what the specific prerequisites are for this?
As I was pointing out a moment ago, when we are deciding between a head prosthesis and a stem prosthesis, we naturally have to take the overall bone quality into our careful consideration. Especially in patients with somewhat compromised bone quality due to known osteoporosis, we face the problem that osseointegration is, let's say, cautiously suboptimal. Nevertheless, it must be said that cementless implants are predominantly used for the shoulder, as the mechanical load is naturally somewhat different than in the hip and knee. In our practice, we generally only choose to cement a stem prosthesis in cases where we encounter significant problematic issues regarding the patient's osteoporotic bone quality, or alternatively, if following severe accidents, the inherent bony stability within the proximal, that is to say, the near joint section, has become compromised.
Can you also perform shoulder replacement surgery minimally invasively using the smallest possible incisions?
The term minimally invasive has a specific connotation when it comes to the shoulder. We are almost exclusively talking about arthroscopic or endoscopic procedures. Of course, we cannot do that with endoprosthetics.
What we are able to do, and what we certainly do, is utilize a muscle-sparing approach by making the smallest incisions possible in order to avoid causing any additional damage to the tendons.
This is of paramount importance, particularly in the context of anatomical prostheses, where we naturally are compelled to gain access beyond the rotator cuff, which is the cup-shaped covering of the humeral head, and then proceed to carefully detach a portion of the tendon. However, there have been significant developments here in recent years, so the internal rotator, the subscapularis, can often be left attached to the front of the humeral head. When we implant a stemmed prosthesis or a revision prosthesis, however, we are unable to preserve these tendons in that way.
Do you actually perform the surgeries yourself on every single one of the patients who come to your private medical practice?
What's really good and unique about our facility and arthrosis centers in general is that thanks to our specialization and consultation hours, patients get to meet their surgeon directly when the decision for surgery is made. Essentially, this means our collaborative decision-making process regarding whether a prosthesis is necessary and which specific model to use is thoroughly discussed and decided during our initial consultation. You can rest assured that I will perform the surgery myself.
So, could you explain what happens to the patients once the procedure has been fully completed?
So in the immediate postoperative phase, which is conducted inpatient, comprehensive pain management is first initiated. In collaboration with the anesthesiologists, it has proven effective to effectively bridge the first 24 to 48 hours by utilizing pain catheters and applying local anesthetics in the surgical area. Following the procedure, the patient is encouraged to begin mobilization quite early. However, that really does depend quite a bit on just how extensively the various tendons had to be reconstructed or surgically reattached. Initially, passive mobilization is possible here, but particularly with the reverse prosthesis in older patients, active assistance and exercises are provided directly on the first and second post-operative day to reduce the hematoma as quickly as possible and to build up independence and confidence in the joint. Typically, rehabilitation follows, often involving an outpatient program for the shoulder that includes intensified lymphatic drainage and physical therapy. A distinction must be made here as well. With a reverse shoulder prosthesis, the patient needs to get used to retraining the rotator cuff muscles. And that is, of course, a time factor. Even though pain improves very quickly, especially with an inverse prosthesis due to the altered biomechanics, we lengthen the arm slightly, meaning we distalize and medialize the pivot point of the humeral head. We can then train the rotator cuff muscles. In this particular instance, the patient has been dealing with this for a period of 10 to 16 weeks, and we are well aware that the improvement in muscle strength really takes place over a span of 6 to 12 months.
What has your experience been like, generally speaking? How long does it take for a shoulder prosthesis to heal properly?
In that case, too, bone healing is very fast. So within 1 to 2 weeks, we are actually in a satisfactory range. We know that head prostheses require slightly more careful follow-up treatment because depending on the type, the anchoring also takes 6 to 8 weeks to become osseointegrated. The entire process is generally limited by the soft tissue reconstruction, specifically the venous sutures, which often require 4 to 6 weeks before they can handle active loading again. It usually takes 6 to 8 weeks for the patient to achieve truly satisfactory healing and significant progress.
And after undergoing a shoulder replacement, will all of your arm movements be possible once again? Or are there any specific limitations, for example, regarding the amount of strength that you will have in the future?
Regarding the overall function, it is, of course, very important to note that the anatomical prosthesis is specifically designed to help restore normal shoulder mobility. While this specific goal is often not achieved to the full 100%, when we compare it to the patient's initial situation, there is a truly significant and very noticeable improvement. In most cases, patients can reasonably expect to regain normal, healthy joint function. However, with an inverse prosthesis, the overall range of mobility is inherently limited by its very design due to a built-in mechanical stop. However, it is the gain in range of motion here that is absolutely crucial for the patient. Regarding strength, there's a very interesting recent study where the question naturally arises, can you really do all sports again with a prosthesis? Of course, there are many patients who would like to resume non-contact sports afterwards. That includes jogging, dancing, gymnastics, or using a home trainer. Cycling is also really popular. Golfing is also possible with a prosthesis, but obviously no contact sports. That limitation exists. Regarding the strength with reverse prostheses in our older patients, a reduction in strength is also observed here. With anatomical prostheses, we expect that strength will also be restored in the long term.
You were mentioning younger patients earlier. Could you tell me how long a shoulder replacement usually lasts?
Much like with other types of prosthetic devices, this naturally depends on the level of physical stress and the frequency of movement exerted by the patients themselves. For younger patients, we can still expect very favorable results lasting for a period of over 15 years, with survival rates consistently exceeding 90%. These are the head prostheses, which are a more recent development. Naturally, not all of them have been fully studied yet, but the current trend is that these prostheses also allow for excellent long-term durability. And as I mentioned, because they use bone-sparing procedures, they can also be revised quite easily. And then it will still allow for a perfectly normal and functional anatomical joint configuration.
So, to follow up on the point you just made, much like a knee or a hip replacement, a shoulder replacement can also be replaced a second time if any significant complications arise.
Yes, revision surgeries for shoulder prostheses are also possible. They are quite feasible and generally put much less strain on the patient than, for example, a knee or hip replacement revision. The patient is mobilized quickly and does not need to use crutches. Yes, post-operatively, it is common to use a sling to prevent uncontrolled movements during the night. However, revision options are available. This is naturally easier with head prostheses than with a stem prosthesis or in the case of a periprosthetic fracture. But here we can really put those fears into perspective. Revision options for shoulder prosthetics are available.
Thank you very much for your explanations, Dr. Kiegenbeck. This has been the Specialist Physician Talk, brought to you by Primo Medico, which is the premier choice for medical specialists and expert physicians. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to our program. For more comprehensive and detailed information concerning the topic of medical specialists, please visit us online at primomedico.com. Join us again next time when we return with our popular segment, which is called Medicine for Your Ears.